Welcome back. The time is flying by when we're amongst friends. I got a great friend with me this afternoon. His name's Matt Rothschild, host of Wisconsin Forward, a podcast you can find at civicmedia.us, on Spotify and Apple Pods, or wherever you get your podcasts from. He is my new guest co-host on Mondays. Very happy to have him. We spent a little time this last segment talking about tariffs, because very recently, we're all aware of the fact that we've got 145% tariffs on goods imported from China. We've got massive new tariffs on products being imported from Canada and Mexico. Those impacts are still rolling in. We're going to look for pain points by the end of May, maybe some shortages. Listen, when we get and start looking at back to school time, the holiday time, it's going to be even worse. Even if you reversed everything today, we would still run into supply problems because that's how supply chains work. You got to be months and months ahead. Most notably, as of late, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce basically begged the Trump administration to create processes by which or blanket exemptions to the tariff policy for small businesses that are must basically import certain subcomponents of what they sell because those things cannot be manufactured in the United States. The Trump administration basically said no dice. Also, over the weekend, Donald Trump making statements indicating that the China tariffs are, quote, permanent. Gosh knows how that's going to play out. Nice negotiating stance to say, oh, we'll negotiate, but our tariffs are permanent. Just get rid of yours. Not really how international trade works. All of this brings us full circle to the role that immigrants play in our economy. Absolutely essential labor source. Just ask any Wisconsin farmer. So what happens as millions and millions more folks are deported by Donald Trump, perhaps unconstitutionally without their due process rights? Less labor means it's more expensive to manufacture things if you can manufacture or farm them at all. Less labor ultimately leading to higher prices, exacerbating the tariff problem, and on we go. Which brings us even fuller circle to today, May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, a holiday that many in our communities celebrate. Matt, tell us more about Cinco de Mayo. You had some thoughts that you wanted to share.
Yeah, I wanted to read a poem by Luis Rodriguez, who's the author of a great memoir called Always Running. But this is a poem entitled Cinco de Mayo, and it's just about 2 minutes. I'll read it if you don't mind.
Please.
Cinco de Mayo celebrates a burning people, those whose land is starved of blood, civilizations which are no longer holders of the night. We reconquer with our feet, with our tongues, that dangerous language, saying more of this world than the volumes of textured and controlled words on a page. We are the gentle rage. Our hands hold the stream of the earth, the flowers of dead cities, the green of butterfly wings. Cinco de Mayo is about the barefoot, the untooled, the warriors of want who took on the greatest army Europe ever mustered and won. Now he switches gears. I once saw a Mexican man stretched across an upturned sidewalk near Chicago's 18th and Bishop one 5th of May. He brought up a near empty bottle to the withering sky and yelled out a grito with the words, Que viva Cinco de Mayo. And I knew then what it meant for barefoot Zapoteca indígenas and the Battle of Pueblo and what it meant for me there on 18th Street among los ancianos, the moon-faced children and the futureless youth dodging the gunfire and careening battered cars. And it brought me to that war that never ends, the war Cinco de Mayo was a battle of, that I keep fighting, that we keep bleeding for, that war against servitude that a compa on 18th Street knew all about as he crawled inside a bottle of the meanest Mexican spirits. That's Luis Rodriguez, Cinco de Mayo.
How beautiful. Thanks for sharing that. The lens that I want us all to remember as perhaps you celebrate with friends and family in your community is Cinco de Mayo, is that Cinco de Mayo is celebrated in honor of Mexico throwing off French imperialistic control. It's about self-determination. It's about consent of the governed. It's about representative government. It is our Mexican brethren's analogy to very basic American values. We are in a moment in our country where our right to self-represent, our right to not have billionaire unelected overlords, our right to declare that money isn't speech and corporations are not people, and that government corruption at a scale never seen before in American history is not the way that we wish to be governed. I would also respectfully offer to each and every one of you that Cinco de Mayo is a reminder that in the project of human dignity, self-governance and due process are critical. These are shared human values expressed throughout history. And my last little bit of a history lesson for everybody about Cinco de Mayo is this, that at the opening of the French Chambers, meaning the governance meetings in 1866, Napoleon III announced in response in part to Cinco de Mayo, Mexico's victory over the Second French Empire, he announced that he would withdraw French troops from Mexico. In reply to a French governmental request for American neutrality that accompanied that withdrawal, the American Secretary of State at the time, William H. Seward, replied that French withdrawal from Mexico must be immediate and unconditional, affirming that very American value of self-determination, consent of the governed, and representative democracy. We have more in common than ever divides us. Remember that, my friends. Big thank you to Matt Rothschild, my friend, and each and every one of yours. That's going to do it for us. I'll be back tomorrow. We got State Slate with Dan Schaefer and a bunch of great guests lined up for you. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together.